This is Fesco and Dusty.
I got Mahomes' balls in my hands.
On your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
Oh yeah, football.
From potholes to pop-ups, we got it covered.
Hey!
Here's Bob Fesco.
Take a bite out of my ass.
And Dusty Likens.
Big nuts.
For hitters. You don't see a lot of hitters.
Oh, my. Well, this might be a slop knock.
I'm sorry?
Gone! And Jack Caglione. It's a two-run home run to put the Royals back out in front.
First time I've ever heard Rex blessing.
Oh, man. How about that? Stay hot and carry the team and keep driving the Royals bus. That's right. Swing after swing. Off balance. 70% swing. Whatever. Which is unusual.
Hot here
for hitters. You don't see a lot of hitters. Oh my.
Well, this might be,
which is unusual for hitters. You don't see a lot of hitters. Oh my.
Well, this might be a slop knock. Gone. And Jack.
So that was Friday night as Jack Caglione would hit a two-run home run to give the Royals the lead. Jack Caglione is going to be the Royals player of the year this year. I know Bobby Witt Jr. is still on this team, but he may hit 30 home runs. He has 22 on the season. He should play first the rest of his career for the Kansas City Royals and hit third for the next 7 years in this lineup. This can also be one of those keys to keep Bobby Witt Jr. locked up in Kansas City. Now, the team has to win. I understand that. And I'm not here to argue with you guys about what this team has done this year. I'm just picking up the highlight of this season. And this is the first full year of Jack Caglione getting to start for the Kansas City Royals. And he's having absolutely a monster year. In fact, I mean, you can go down everything that people have talked about. During his 12-game hitting streak, he was 20 of 47. That is a .426 average. Four doubles, five home runs, 17 RBI. That slug that you want so desperately or needed for a while for the Kansas City Royals, that's an .830 slug, a .1267 OPS, a .250 OPS plus. That is what you call absolutely in the zone. And Jack Caglione comes from Baseball is Dead, who has been a menace since getting the full potential to play. And Jack Caglione has only trended upward since his debut. This comes from Ballpark Pal. He's rated the number six hitter in Major League Baseball over his last 1,000 pitches faced, and he's number one over his last 250. Something that really tore me up last year was watching Nick Kurtz absolutely take off and run.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I wanted to see Jack Caglione do. Obviously, Kurtz went before Jack in the draft. Jack goes right after, and everybody in the offseason is like, man, where's the right fielder? Where's the right fielder? He's right there. Now, Vinny Pasquantino might be getting Wally pipped because I don't know how you can't put Jack Caglione at first base the rest of his career and let him play every single day, which also might be kind of one of those things where at the beginning of the year, we're like, why can't he play against left-handed pitching? What's he got to do to get better? We've seen the development, and I know that it's easy and low-hanging fruit to just blame Matt Cotrero and J.J. Piccolo for not playing him against left-handed hitters, but there's more to it than just that. There was the maturity factor. Vern alluded to it, throwing the bat down, throwing helmets, pouting. There was the not being able to lay off pitches. And the reason the power is looking like it was supposed to be promised is because Jack is more comfortable at the plate. He's hitting behind Bobby Witt Jr. And for the future of this franchise, and I don't know when they get this contract done, they could do it today. They could have done it yesterday. They could do it tomorrow. But you got to lock Jack Caglione up as a future superstar because the superstar moment is engaged fully right now. He'll play four games against the Oakland A's or the Vegas A's or the Sacramento A's, whoever they are, the next 4 days. And he's one of the reasons why you should continue to watch this team. They're not going to go anywhere. They're not going to win anything this year. But Jack Caglione is doing things that some of us in this town told you could be possible. And now that he's got the maturity, he's got the eye at the plate, and the power was always there. That home run or the slob knock they talk about was a home run that just looked like a Fred McGriff bomb for the Braves back in the 90s when he would just take that right hand and extend it out, and it was gone. And he has that potential to be that guy in your lineup where you can hit the two-run home run. You can hit the three-run home run. You have that guy in your system, and now he should be here to stay. And if you lock him up, that's going to give those things in that contract that we talked about that Bobby has the opt-out after 4 or 5 years to be like, what is this team doing to prove to me that they're serious? Well, if they're serious, I don't know what with the lockout engagement coming up, as more and more conversations are now, we're going to get back into it in November.
I missed that one over the weekend. They've tabled negotiations till November.
They said stuff won't really get serious until about November. So after the World Series, yeah, obviously, is over, they can get into, you know, business. But,
well, I guess, yeah. But you could also be meeting behind the scenes and taking care of business to not let it escalate to something like this. Sure. But they won't, you know.
And the other thing, too, about Caglione is that this is the player that my generation has been pining for in the Royals system. A guy that just goes up to the plate and you're like, I don't know, could go 450 feet, could go 500 feet, could be a 3-0 lead in the top of the first or the bottom of the first because of what he's showing at the plate. The maturity is starting to get there. The average is now somewhere around 270. The home runs are 22. The slug is 800. This is exactly what you've wanted. If you're from my generation, if you're, you know, young 30s to late 30s, this is the player you've always wanted to have on your roster, and now you have it.
Who is easier to acquire in the offseason, a first baseman or an outfielder, do you think?
First baseman.
Yeah, I do too. So why not keep Cags as your right fielder? And that way you're not back at square one trying to find that right fielder. And then you can go out and find that first baseman. Because, look, I think everybody's kind of on that same page of, like, Vinny may be the guy that gets traded this offseason, right? There may be other guys that get traded. There may be other changes that happen, as there should be. You're 25 games under 500. But you've got to find a way to support your star players in your lineup now, or they're not going to want to stay here, right? That's the thing. If you're not winning and you're not supporting those core players, then they're not going to want to be here. So it's imperative this offseason. And it's hard to even talk about this offseason because we don't know what's going to happen in the future. But what we have to make sure is that this team is going out and not signing Jack Caglione, but signing players that are good, that surround Cags and surround Bobby Witt to help this team win. So when it is time to sign Jack Caglione, he wants to stay here because he knows that the organization is committed to winning and they're out there putting players around him. And so I think that's the most important thing this offseason for this team. How are you going to sell your organization to Bobby Witt Jr. and Jack Caglione more than selling it to anybody else? And you have to go out there and get players around them that will help them win. Because if they don't win, then it doesn't matter. It doesn't mean anything. And I think those players in particular, because they're the two, stars on this team now, those are the two guys that you really have to go out there and show and basically recruit to stay here in Kansas City, because both can walk on their own volition whenever they want. So I think it's important going forward as we get closer and closer to, you know, potentially a new stadium and all this kind of stuff. It is important to go out there every single year and field a team that shows Bobby and Cags this is a winning organization. They missed on that for the last year. They've got to find a way to get back to that to keep those two guys in the fold. So that's the challenge this offseason. Make your team better. Turn your team into a winner to make sure that Cags and Bobby are here and want to be here for their entire careers.
Well, it's nice to say that and not just have it be to keep Bobby here, to have two guys to keep in the fold. You've added a guy, you've doubled your star player count, and you have Carter Jensen, who's more than a role player, is now playing catcher more than Salvador Perez.
Right.
Does accentuate what happened at the beginning of the season more and more. The more Caglione does this, it accentuates those first couple of months. And going,
same with Noah Cameron right now, too, guys. I mean, that's another one they misjudged on. I mean, let Noah call his own game. He's called his own game. He's been one of the best pitchers in the history of baseball. No one has done what Noah Cameron has done in his last three starts in the history of Major League Baseball. And we know how much baseball loves the history side of things, right? So, like, why was Cags mismanaged? Why was Cameron mismanaged all season long? I'm with you, Mac. It makes you go, damn, if they were handling this business the right way from the start of the season, maybe the results are different right now.
And again, there are other tea leaves to, you know, the Cags story. Like, you got to be the ball player that you have to be on and, you know, in the game. There were episodes, there were things that led to that. Now, again, did he not play opening day? Was that a mistake, in my opinion? Absolutely. But we've seen him get better because we saw him play against Tarek Skubal 4 months after opening day in LA, and he takes Tarek Skubal bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had the 4-for-4 night, 2 doubles, 2 home runs, all that sort of stuff. So depending on where you think baseball players can stay the longest, you know, is right field the best place for Jack to play for the,
I don't know. What do you think?
I think for a couple of years, because I don't know what you get in return with Vinny. I think Vinny would be a package deal. Because what's Blake Mitchell's future? Or is Carter Jensen somebody that maybe you call Blake Mitchell up and you're like, hey, Carter, we're going to try you out in the outfield. And then your outfield's Jack Carter and Kyle Isbell, which I think is a fine center fielder. You're not the LA Dodgers, so people need to realize that you're not going to have a 1-7 dynamite order. But if you've got a solid 1-4, because Michael Garcia and Vinny Pasquantino both might join the team again today, and we'll see what they do moving forward. Because, I mean, honestly, if your lineup is Garcia, Bobby, Cags, Carter, Vinny, Sal's hitting sixth, I'll take that into next year, and hopefully they can get on the right path early, because that's the other thing.
And that's the thing, though. You look at the lineup, and you mention all those names. Everybody likes those names, and yet they're still 25 games under 500. So, like, what happened?
I do like Jensen in the outfield. That was a good idea.
I mean, it's a possibility. And to your point of what happened, just not really maybe understanding or knowing where you wanted to go with all this thing. So, I don't know. And somebody says from the 913, don't look now, but Carter Jensen, Salvador Perez's hitting numbers look scary similar. Carter Jensen's a rookie.
Carter Jensen, I saw somebody compared him to MJ Melendez, exact same numbers in their first year, like home runs, average, RBIs, everything, the exact same number I saw.
Numbers might be the same, but the approach and the player is very, very different. Coming up next, Mac has to apologize? Okay.
It's too late to apologize.
Apologize. Apologize.
It's too late.
Kansas City, it's Omar Norman Lott. You're listening to Fesco and Dusky on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Moving right along on Fesco and Dusky with Mac Morey as well. Getting up close to one word here at 7:30. But before we get into that, Mac, I think this is also funny as we're starting to get into like fantasy draft season to like figure out how people do their orders. Yep. Depends on you, depends on your league. Sometimes it's just random draw no matter what. Yep. A lot of times whoever won the league last year can get the can decide where this is how we do ours. Not anybody cares. Whoever won the year before gets to pick wherever they want to be in the draft.
Yeah, that's fair. I
like that. And then the rest is random. So like you want the number one overall pick? Cool. This year, you're like, man, I don't know if I want the first or second pick because I think people are going to go Jahmyr Gibbs, Bijan Robinson. Then I get to kind of have my own choice. Or if you're just in love with Jahmyr Gibbs, you think he's going to run for, you know, or have like, you know, 22 all-purpose yards on the season this year. Be more than that, actually. That's probably a good number. Then whatever. The Toronto Blue Jays decided to have everybody that's in the league go out to the pitcher's mound pregame or postgame and throw to home plate. And whoever threw the fastest got to go to the closest to the draft. So whoever threw the fastest pitch was one, and the second fastest
so
two,
and all that. Yeah. That's cool.
That's a great idea.
You
that's
know, like awesome. So, like what you, if all your buddies that are in your league lived here, you could be like, all right, we're all going to meet at Shawnee Mission Northwest. We're going to run the 40-yard dash, and whoever runs the fastest gets the first pick, and so on and so forth. So if I was in that, I'd be like, just give me the last pick. I'll snake it at the end.
Yeah, you know?
If you're doing the snake draft, which most do, I'm sure the baseball team's doing that. Why wouldn't you say, you know, I got the fastest throw, but I'm selecting the last pick of the draft instead of the first pick of the draft. But even still at the top, you get the snake selection too. But you kind of like the snake selection, the first round, second round, right? That's kind of a double whammy for you right there.
Yeah.
Maybe the NFL should do that for their regular draft.
That's why the Chiefs would draft Xavier Worthy.
Yeah.
Like, all right, get out there, X. Go get us the first overall pick of the draft.
Exactly right.
But speaking of Xavier Worthy, a draft pick from, 3 years ago?
Yep.
Hard to believe. This is his third year in the league.
It's crazy to say that,
Which draft picks have been kind of not Mac's favorite thing to talk about.
No.
But maybe now Mac has to apologize.
Yeah,
apologize.
2023, 2024, I can't speak for those. Those were bad drafts by Brett Veach. Misses, right? Coming off of 2022. 2025, we didn't really get to see a lot of them, and we can talk about that here a little bit later. But what we saw yesterday, man, the rookies and the second year players look like they are
2 days ago.
Yeah, 2 days ago. Yeah, thank you.
Unless you watched it yesterday on 38, the spot, the replay.
What we saw this weekend from the rookies and the second year players were fantastic. Were awesome. They're going to be impact players right off the bat.
Yeah.
You talk about our Mason Thomas, and it's not even we haven't even seen Mansoor Delay in the 6th overall pick that they traded up for. We haven't even seen, really. We saw some Peter Woods. We can talk about that. I think he got the Chris Jones treatment on Saturday as far as double teams. He was double teamed every play, it looked like.
And he had an ankle issue?
Yeah, ankle issue may have affected some of that, too, some of that explosion from him. But we still like Peter Woods. We think he's going to be good. But, yeah, Cyrus Allen, R. Mason Thomas, Emmett Johnson, who somehow fell to the 5th round, all three of those guys right off the rip are maybe not going to be starters, but going to be playing over 50% of the snaps, depending on who they are, and going to be impact players helping this team win football games. You talk about second-year players in 2025. Josh Simmons, we all like Josh Simmons, at least right here on this show. I know there's some people who have question marks. I think Josh Simmons is going to be absolutely fantastic. As long as Ashton Gelati can stay healthy, he showed flashes last year. Noel Williams, I've been screaming about Noel Williams all season and in last season that he should have played more. Noel Williams is going to be the best corner on this team. He's the starting corner. He's the leader of that secondary, in my opinion. And again, I mentioned Jeffrey Bassa earlier. And then in the seventh round, Breshard Smith has got some pop to him as far as a receiving back out of the backfield. And that explosion, that screen pass was great. He can make men miss. He's a returner. That versatility out of a seventh round pick is something to be said. And Jeffrey Bassa, again, he might be the second linebacker by the end of this season. And that was what, a fifth round pick last season? Yep, last year. So you've got now six or seven guys that I just mentioned in the last two seasons who are going to be impactful in winning. That is top tier general manager right there. And you can start to go, okay, well, I'm going to put more impetus on Andy Reid and Steve Spagnuolo as far as why weren't some of these guys playing? Noel Williams, Jeffrey Bassa, Breshard Smith. We needed a running back last year. It was like, we'll occasionally play Breshard Smith. He looks really good. And now he's gone. And now here's Isaiah Pacheco and the guy off the couch and Kareem Hunt. So I'm starting to look more at the coaching staff as to the reason these last couple of seasons maybe that we haven't seen the fruition of what Brett Veach has been able to do with some of these drafts, because 2026, it's early. It looks like this could be a repeat of 2022, and we need it to be if we want this. We've all talked about it. We need another 2022 type draft, another legendary draft, four, five, six guys who are going to be impactful right off the rip for 4 years. Because if we want this dynasty to continue, that's what it will take. And that's what it looks like really early on.
Yep.
Without even seeing the sixth overall pick yet, that's what it looked like Brett Veach has done.
And I will say this. When this draft happened in April, May, whenever the hell it was, we all looked at the draft and were excited about the draft, right?
Yep.
And then we watched, you know, the OTAs, training camp, all this, got a little bit more excited about the players. And then we saw them on Saturday and went, oh, isn't it fun when the players perform that you're counting on in the draft like that, where every single one of these guys, check, right down the list, went out there and performed. And we have not had that since that 22 draft, right? Mm-hmm. You have not walked away from the preseason excited about the draft picks since the Trent McDuffie draft and the George Karloftis draft. That was the last time we all truly walked away from preseason games talking about these young guys. I told you guys for a while now, something weird went on last year. I don't know what it is. And now here you are talking about what went on last year. Something weird went on behind the scenes, kind of like the Royals right now. You're 25 games under 500. You like the names on the team, but for whatever reason, it's not working, right? Same thing with the Chiefs last year. You like some of the names on the field, but for whatever reason, they weren't getting into the lineup. Mm-hmm. Something was just off inside that locker room last year. Everybody just had a down year from Andy Reid all the way down, and it does. Everybody's included in all of this, and that's why you hear Clark Hunt at the beginning of training camp talking about the mindset of the team and being in that right mindset. I really think last year, the mindset of that team was, I'm exhausted, man. I just don't have any more. By everybody, and it showed. Regroup this offseason, longer offseason, refresh yourself this offseason. Basically got a sabbatical, guys. They got an extra 30 to 40 days off this year that they don't normally have, and boy, it looks like they have refreshed themselves and really went to work to tackle, no pun intended, the 2026 season, because everything so far is looking up. And I know there are people that cover this league that are looking at that first preseason game by the Chiefs and going, Emmett Johnson broke 10 tackles. Cyrus Allen jumped how high and made a catch? Yeah. Josh Simmons did what out there on the field with the snatch block? Like, what's going on with the Kansas City? Oh, and Mahomes didn't even play.
Yeah, I think that it's a lot of not only that, but the personnel around what you're changing offensively. I thought they ran a lot of plays under center, which I thought was interesting to see because I know that it's not the starters playing, as the text line is so effing negative every single day about certain things. But like, that's your scheme. That's what you're going to see your starters do. And if those guys are running that effectively, you have to think and have to know that the guys that actually play every day, the 11, they're going to be out there more often than not, know exactly what they need to do. And if it looks I'm not going to say well-oiled yet, but it looks like a different sort of offensive format out there, yep. right? Like Noah Gray knowing where he's supposed to be on that third and long play. It wasn't a first down, but it was a 15-yard catch on an 18-yard or third and 18. Having the screenplay being effective with Bashard Smith, you could not and would not run screens with Kareem Hunt and Isaiah Pacheco, which means all of those options are out. Bashard Smith was a rookie last year, so he wasn't going to get the playing time that we thought, you know, that maybe he's going to get this year. I don't know. This is a hot take. I may not need to see D. Mercado after seeing Emmett Johnson and Bashard Smith.
Trade him is what you're saying, maybe, potentially?
Whatever you got to do. Because, again, I know it's preseason, and I know that these guys are going to have a lot of proof to show us. But, like, seeing under center plays happen, seeing somebody on the defensive line being able to actually get in the backfield, like, that's got to give George Karloftis some sort
Hell
of, like,
yes. no,
like what's it going to be like on third down when they take 56 off the field to put our Mason Thomas out there? What's it going to look like if they have a third down set where they don't have Ken Walker out there, but they've got Smith and they've got Emmett Johnson out there, where you're like, okay, you have two different, like, sort of Swiss Army guys back here that could either, you know, get a quick handoff, or they could go out and run like the double flare screen that we used to always run in Madden. And there are things that they can do this year. And I think Cyrus Allen being a fifth round pick, it is not uncommon to find a solid receiver in the fifth round. That has happened multiple times in the NFL, and maybe it finally happened for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yep.
You might have a wide receiver two battle. You might also have a blessing disguise at your quarterback two battle when it might be Nuss the Bus taking over for Justin Fields as the number two backup. There are all these things that after one game of a soft opening to a season, you're not going, oh, wow, they're only going to run the ball on third and one or
well,
third and short.
And that's the thing. Like, to the people who are negative about this, think about what your perception would be if these guys went out there and didn't look like they did. And we're talking about, boy, there's no burst from Emmett Johnson, and our Mason Thomas is slow, and you know, all the negative stuff that we could have had. We had a great dress rehearsal for what we needed to see as a fan base, I thought. We saw the running game. We saw good plays from the young guys. That's what you want to see in the preseason. We're not sitting here saying this is a team that's going to set records and, you know, they're whatever the case is. This is a team, though, that I think really passed the first test with flying colors. I think for all the angst and anxiety that a lot of us have had since the end of last season, I think a lot of anxiety was released on Saturday knowing, damn, these young players are going to be very impactful for this team. And it looks like we've restocked this organization. That's what I'm taking away from Saturday's game. I'm not taking away it was against twos and threes and fours and fives and sixes and sevens. I'm taking away that whoever played for the Chiefs, for the most part, played their asses off. And I felt impressed after the first preseason game. That's exactly what you want in the preseason.
I'm also not holding the penalties accountable. Yes, there were some on the first drive. I get that. There was a really bad one on that screenplay to Bashard Smith that really killed the drive.
Yep.
But a lot of those penalties, in my opinion, are coming from the guys that are never going to play. Like Caliendo, I think, had two crucial like holdings or whatever they were. There was a couple other backup linemen that had them. And, you know, yeah, those are going to get cleaned up, I would think. I mean, those guys aren't, you know, it's their first game of the season that they've actually played. And, you know, we don't have DeJuan Taylor here anymore, right? Like, he's not here to, you know, jump early or, you know, to not be in the right spot. So I think seeing what this team might have potentially with young superstars, maybe that is the wave moving forward for the Kansas City Chiefs. Maybe it's time to, you know, take a play out of the Royals playbook. Hey, I don't know if Jack can hit lefties yet. I don't know if this guy can play it, you know, the first game against Denver. Going to find out real quick if he can.
See, in football, it's funny. We just throw guys out there and let them go. And baseball, like, man, I don't think, yeah, but that's the right way to
you
do
have
it.
To. Let, you have 53 guys.
Yeah, take the training wheels off. Let these guys go out there and play. Sometimes we coddle these athletes too much. Sometimes it's just throw them in the fire and see what happens. And you know, it worked. It was good.
Right.
One word.
First name is Blake, and he goes on a cruise. He goes on a Caribbean cruise.
Katie Holmes.
No. Ah!
Are you listening?
What's your least favorite thing about working with yourself?
Body odor.
You get one word.
On the count of three, name your favorite dinosaur. One, two, three.
Velociraptor.
This is One Word on Fesco and Dusty.
One, two, three.
Oatmeal raisin.
That's right. It's One Word on a Monday. It's brought to you by the Sand Trap. It's a great spot. It's got delicious food, cold drinks, TVs everywhere to watch all your favorite sports teams. It's located in the northeast corner of Blue Ridge and Sport and Holmes in South KC. Today on a Monday at the Sand Trap, you can get the Trap Club Wrap. Say that five times fast. It's a 14-inch tortilla with ham, turkey, bacon, shredded lettuce, cheddar cheese, cheddar jack cheese, that is, and diced tomatoes with your choice of ranch, chipotle ranch, or mayo. I suggest the chipotle ranch. Gives a little kick, and it's delicious. It also comes with fries or those delicious house chips for just $13. Also, if you're a fatty like me, they give you the option. You can get the $9 cheeseburger and fries and $1 off craft beers. All that at the Sand Trap on a Monday. Mac?
Let's do it. We're talking Chiefs preseason. This was Cyrus Allen in the locker room after the game. Still taking it all in, being a Kansas City Chief.
It's surreal. I'm still learning and that I'm playing for the Chiefs, and I'm still like looking at Pat like, damn, just Patrick Mahomes, I'm around. So it's still surreal for me.
One word.
Surreal is the word that you will use there, because when you think about Cyrus Allen, when Patrick Mahomes started playing, he was like 12 years old. He legitimately now grew up watching Patrick Mahomes win Super Bowls, make plays, be this dynamic quarterback. That's the guy Cyrus Allen grew up watching. That's the guy all of these rookies, for that matter, grew up watching. So to hear him say that it is surreal, it feels like, you know what? I ain't letting this guy down. And I like that a lot by Cyrus Allen. That was a good comment by him.
One word for me would be cool, but now I need that surreal feeling to move forward, right? Like, it was surreal, you know, coming in here for the first time in this building and seeing people that I, you know, had listened to my whole life, from Kling and Bob to Danny and Carrington to Jay and Henry. Mm-hmm. But now you work for them. You are their teammates. Now it's like the surreal feeling has to leave. Now make it surreal that you're a young player in the league that's now the number one target for Patrick Mahomes. So it's fun and fine that that early feeling is there, but you're all teammates now and you have one goal, and that's to go be winners. So I don't mind it, right? But let that feeling go, right? Like, oh my gosh, that's Mac Morey over there. Yeah, that's cool for the first couple weeks.
Mac's awesome.
But after, eventually, it's got to be like, hey, Mac, like, what are you doing here? Are we going to start putting this together? It's like, so that's fine.
Yep.
And it is crazy when Bob says that he was 12 years old when Mahomes stepped foot in the league.
Seriously. I mean, what is he, 22 or 3 years old?
23 years old. 23.
Right? 10 years ago.
Yeah.
He's 13 years old when Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where we're getting now, guys. Guys that are coming into the league now pretty much grew up watching Patrick Mahomes play football.
It's awesome. It's awesome. It feels like everyone grew up watching this guy play at KU because he was there so long. Undrafted rookie quarterback Jalen Daniels. He went off in his preseason debut, 10 for 15, 111 passing yards, and one rushing touchdown. One word on the former Jayhawk.
Fun. You like to see that, right? That was kind of cool to watch him go out there and ball the way that he did, because we didn't really get to see that in Lawrence all that much.
Yeah,
that was for Tampa Bay, by the way.
Yes.
I get, and you'll see him this week as well, because the Chiefs play the Bucs on Saturday at 6:30.
Good point.
I missed this. There was a clip on Twitter that said, "This quarterback reminds you of anybody in the past?" Were they trying to reference Michael Vick?
Oh, wow.
I didn't see that.
I don't know.
It said, who does this quarterback in the past remind you of?
He's with Tampa, though. Is there somebody with Tampa, maybe, that?
No.
No, there isn't, really. No.
No, because he's not Josh Freeman.
He's not Tom Brady.
Not Randall Cunningham. I was like, can he just be Jaden Daniels?
Yeah.
But I think it's fun because who's in a contract dispute in Tampa right now?
Well, that's exactly right. Yeah, Baker is, yeah.
What do you do, Tampa?
Well, we don't need to sign Baker. We got Jalen Daniels ready to take over. Oh, my God, that would be hysterical. But he's having a better weekend than the other Jaden Daniels did,
The KU guy's going to outplay the OU guy, and then on Baker's way out, full circle, crotch grab as he leaves Tampa.
Yeah.
Next quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Baker
Men's Wieners.
Mm-hmm.
Jackson Dart going from quarterback to quarterback. Blue tent. Got absolutely walloped on a play. Running back missed a block, and he got blindsided. Now, including preseason games, Jackson Dart has made a trip to the blue medical tent in 43% of his career starts. One word.
Sad. I mean, every time this guy gets tackled now, are we going to run over to the blue tent? And he was pissed after the game. Now, the hit that he got destroyed on was like a heat-seeking missile. The safety just destroyed him. But it was a great tackle. There was no reason to go to the tent on that. It was a perfect tackle. Total whiff by the running back. And if that offense is going to be the same that we've seen in Kansas City, that running back better pull his head out of his ass and not get his coach or his quarterback killed, or he won't be playing in that offense. Because, as you know, the running backs need to block. But yeah, Jackson Dart, man, it's almost like it's just par for the course now. After every play, send Jackson to the blue tent.
Yeah, I think it's concerning, but also I would say my one word would be line. That offensive line, man. you've got to protect for that kid, because you know he's going to be a rocket. He's going to move out there. He's going to, you know, play fearless. But again, that was like, as soon as I saw the hit, I texted Bob and I was like, so Dart just got absolutely rocked. And the first response was, running back missed the block. I said, absolutely. So he just missed the team. And then I said, blue tint, he's fine. I'm like, that's going to wear off really fast in New York Giants fandom of those people be like, ah, it's just precaution. I don't know if it is. Like, I don't know. I mean, Dart, you got to protect that kid, man.
Yeah, unsustainable would be my word. I mean, that is not going to last long if he's just living in the blue tent, man. He's got to get out of there. Yeah, that was a terrible missed block by that running back. That was insane. I mean, the guy was showing blitz. You know he's coming.
It was a whiff. I've never seen a whiff like that. And the quarterback just got absolutely lit up. I was like, ooh.
Noah Cameron lit up the opponents last night. 9 innings pitched, 1 hit, 0 runs, 8 Ks for the man himself. Noah Cameron, one word.
Star. That was a great performance. Been great since he's decided to take matters into his own hands and start calling the games himself and start controlling his own career. And that's what I really love about Noah Cameron. He took his own career into his hands and said, screw this. I'm going out and I'm doing what I need to do for my career. Love Noah Cameron for that. He advocated for himself.
One word is ace. That's the ace of your staff next year.
I agree.
So, Bob, if you want to trade him last year, boy, could you get a package now for him.
But
you don't
have
anybody to pitch. So, Noah Cameron's the ace of your staff next year. Josh Vernier at 820, by the way, today.
But again, that should not be a reason to pass on a good trade because you failed at having people ready to go in the minor leagues.
Yeah, if the bullpen wasn't so, dang, yeah, it would be a great.
Historically bad is the two words you're looking for. Historically bad.
Yes. Be a great trade candidate if they didn't. They had other pitchers. They had other arms they could trust. That's too bad.
You thought the gas prices were high at Quick Trip. You got to look at them at the Royals bullpen. There's a lot of gas prices that are high up there. Everybody's got a can at $3.89.
From a young guy to rookie, how about this?
You would think with it being that expensive, they wouldn't want to waste it as much as they've done this year.
Well,
talk about historic Joshua Baez. Three home runs in his debut for the St. Louis Cardinals. Three! One word.
Historical. I mean, nobody's ever done it, ever, in the history of baseball. That was wild to see that happen.
Effing Cardinals, man. Every time. My one word would be spiritual, and I'm not going to get emotional or choked up, but it was really cool, and I heard this story later that day. So if you missed it over the weekend, the kid comes up, hits his first home run, 449 feet, hits his next at bat hits a home run, and then in his third at bat, he goes opposite field. He told reporters after the game, there was a bumblebee floating around him the entire game in his debut. The man lost his father not long ago. So if you think there's something up there in the sky, I suggest you take another look because that was crazy. It was
That's
nuts.
Awesome.
I don't know, man. It was really cool to see that and then to see his minor league teammates watching from their own little area while he was playing. And when he hit the opposite knock, they're all freaking out. Never seen that before, man. That Baez kid, what a day, man. He's got 3 home runs in his debut. First pitch he ever sees, it's gone.
Boom, and
he's
450 feet.
I mean, yeah, just
what are you doing for an encore now, right?
Yeah, hitting 2 more, and the last one's going to go oppo. And, oh, by the way, it's against our biggest rival in their ballpark that we get to do that to. But the bumblebee thing, man, the spiritual stuff is just, it's nuts, man. It's weird how that works. So, yeah, that was great. And good for that guy. Two words, juiced balls. That is one word here on Monday on 96.5 The Fan. Again, brought to you by The Sand Trap. Great place with great food, great drinks, great specials, TVs everywhere to watch all your favorite sports. And it's located in the northeast corner of Blue Ridge and Holmes in South KC. Today on a Monday at The Sand Trap is the Trap Club Wrap. 14-inch tortilla with ham, turkey, bacon, shredded lettuce, cheddar, jack cheese, tomatoes, your choice of ranch or chipotle ranch or just mayonnaise. Come with fries or the house chips for $13. You can also get the $9 cheeseburger and fries or $1 off craft beers. Coming up on the other side, we get back into what Eric Bieniemy's effect can be on this team because, boy, do I think camp's going to be hell today. 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Good morning, Kansas City. It's Kyra Stonga, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
I think we should do yes or no again with preseason because I have a hunch. I don't have sources that tell me this. I feel like we're going to see 15 play on Saturday.
Nah.
Okay.
Now, because I heard something on the game broadcast, whether it was Trent or maybe it was Clark or somebody on that broadcast. It could have been Matt McMullen. Great job, Matt. Love you, brother.
Yo, Matt.
Matt's so good at what he does. He really is. He is so great. He's so good at what he does. What the hell was I going to say? Oh, somebody did say on the broadcast, though, the goal, it may have been Andy, actually, the goal all along was to have him ready for week one.
Yeah.
The goal was to have him ready for week one. So that's kind of where I am right now with that.
Man, that'll just make the anticipation that much more.
Oh, I know, right? Think about it. It's like Christmas morning.
Oh, I can't wait.
You got to get your gift, right? You don't know what to expect.
Can we open one before Christmas?
We did. Okay. We did. We had R. Mason Thomas, or we had Cyrus Allen.
Chris Jones for a snap.
Chris Jones for a snap. Yeah.
Thanks. I got my socks.
Yeah. Chris Jones for a snack. That or for a snap. That's night one of Hanukkah, right? You get a little gift. There you go. It's well a good. And then when the opener gets here, that's your final big present. You get what you've been wanting, right? I know kids like the Lego sets these days. Or what was the big gift when you were a kid, Mac?
Probably a game system.
Yeah, gaming system.
Gaming system. What about for you? What was the big gift when you were a kid? Like that big gift that everybody wanted.
Yeah, so it was either the Tickle Me Elmo.
Yeah.
Then it was the Furby.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Furbies were huge.
Huge.
And then we found out it was the Russian spies trying to get into our houses. At least that's what we were told. So that disappeared. We never saw that again. That was like Reliant K, Mac. It was like, I was like, what happened to the Furby? Like, it's shorted out. It's gone. I'm like, okay. And then it was the Nintendo 64.
See, it's funny how the different generations have like different things. Like for Kling, he was the original kid with the ball and a stick. You know, you throw the ball up and catch it in a cup on a stick. Like that's how old he is. For me, it was like Fisher Price, the farm set or the car wash and stuff like that. And then, you know, I had the first Atari when that came out. So that was kind of a big gift back then, the Atari and the original Nintendo.
Was Pong your game?
No, Pitfall I liked on the original Atari. Space Invaders was a lot of fun. Obviously, Pac-Man was the big game. Yeah. And Miss Pac-Man was great. I always loved Miss Pac-Man. Didn't care much for Pac-Man Jr., but I did like Miss Pac-Man. She was kind of hot. And, I mean, find me a hotter Pac-Man than Miss Pac-Man. Mm. There isn't one. You can't name one, right?
I don't know what to say to that.
No, I don't.
There's only one Miss Pac.
That right. That's what I'm saying. So she's the hottest.
What was your favorite food item?
As a kid?
No, in Pac-Man. Was it the pretzel?
The grape. No, the cherries, cherries? The cherries. Yeah, I always liked the cherries.
I always loved the pretzel because I was like, is it soft?
Yeah, is it soft?
Is it a soft pretzel? Where's the cheese?
So Patrick will be the big gift you get on the final night of Hanukkah, the final present you unwrap at Christmas, the big thing that you wanted. No need to get that early. Have the big surprise. As I've told you guys before, you know, when we were having kids, somebody had told me about finding out the sex of the child. And they said, don't. And I said, why? They go, because you don't have many good surprises in life, right? Don't rush it. Just enjoy it as it comes and be surprised in a good way. I'm like, okay, cool. So we never found out the sex of our children. Mm. Same thing with Patrick Mahomes. Like, this is going to be a good thing when he comes on September 14th, 15th, 14th, whatever day that is, the opener. I don't need to rush it anymore. Just let me lead up and let me build up to when he runs through that tunnel and he's the final guy introduced. And now a quarterback, number 15 from Texas Tech, and you won't be able to hear anything after that because the stadium noise will drown out Patrick Mahomes running out to the field. I want that moment.
I will say I did see Travis on the sideline. Wedding ring on hand.
In the game. Yeah, let's see if he's playing. Right, I'm going to see if he's playing and wears it. That scares me when they wear wedding rings. What if you get hit and you got it like,
you can just get a rubber one.
Mm. We'll get into rubbers a little bit later on today.
Yeah, we will.
Somebody says, I've been angry every Christmas since 88 because I didn't get the G.I. Joe aircraft carrier.
There it is! That was a great gift! Yes! I love that gift. It was a great one.
Yep.
Yes!
Sega Genesis 1992. That was a big one for me. that was a big one. Now, I was lucky because a lot of those game systems come out in the summer, obviously. So my birthday was always August, so it was always a pretty big birthday present there for me. But maybe a big birthday present for this entire team is Eric Bieniemy.
Yeah, it's going to be hell. I know for sure, but we gotta clean those up, and we'll be good for sure. Our offense will be real clean.
Ain't a son of a bee out there that's ready for practice today. I can tell you that much. This is where you, I think, will see, and we'll get this from Alex and Cody, who are at camp today up in St. Joe. I'm interested to see what practice today is. I don't think it'll be the 10-10-10 today because penalties have to be brought up, obviously. We saw what the team kind of showed us in that game against the Rams on Saturday afternoon. Now you're getting into the next game, which to me is the real dress rehearsal. Obviously, the third preseason game, in my opinion, is like the, all right, we're going to have tryouts. You're either making it or you're not. There's 53 spots in this roster. There's 65 of you here. There's now one big cut, not two like they used to do back in the day. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, something kind of interesting in that, like who's going to, you know, is this guy playing for his roster spot? But I think practice today and St. Joe and stuff like that, you're going to see the effect of Eric Bieniemy, because I'm sure there's some sort of something that they do when it comes to like every penalty equals this or whatever it may be. But the other thing that's interesting is to see what the personnel looks like out there, and like, where's Mansoor Delane? What's Trey Smith's update? Stuff like that is what I think is interesting. Yeah. But Breshard Smith, yeah, it's going to be hell.
It is going to be hell. But
the first word.
Yeah, it's going
to
be hell.
Yeah, you know what, though? It damn needs right. to be. This is why you brought Eric Bieniemy back. This is the sole reason why everybody said you brought Eric Bieniemy back, right? The discipline, holding guys accountable. That first game, I don't care that they were the backups. That offensive line on the second roll had 8 penalties or whatever it was. Eric Bieniemy needs to light them up today. Again, that's why you brought Eric Bieniemy back. And if you don't nip this in the bud today, then it won't get nipped in the bud. And I kind of jokingly, you know, Andy said, we'll clean that up. But Andy did say that a lot last year, right? With the penalties and stuff. Like, and it never got cleaned up. And so having Eric Bieniemy back is kind of the guy who's going to be in charge of all that. Finally having somebody on this team that's going to hold those guys accountable. He needs to hold those guys accountable today. So quite honestly, guys, I'll be disappointed if there's not a lot of yelling and screaming from Eric Bieniemy to hold those guys accountable for those excessive penalties on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, you want to get those mistakes out early. And so having those mistakes in preseason is when you want to have them. This is like you have a dress rehearsal for a show, and yeah, you're going to forget a line, you're going to miss a cue, you're not going to wear the right, you're not going to do the correct costume change. Like, all those things are going to happen in the preseason, in the dress rehearsal. And then by the time the show starts, kicks off, the lights turn on, you're ready to go.
But you got to make it a point of emphasis
absolutely.
Now.
And, yeah. And that's what's going to happen, and I think that didn't happen as much last year. But this is what's glorious about this year and this month and these last couple of months for sports fans. You just kind of get to choose what's real and what's not.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm choosing to believe that those penalties are not real to what the starters are going to be on this team.
Right.
Now, we kind of all have PTSD, though, when it comes to that. We do have PTSD, penalty, traumatic stress disorder or whatever. But we'll see what happens. But, I mean, it was Hunter Norzad, it was Driscoll, it was Caliendo. It was guys who will not see the field.
I understand, but the message still needs to be sent today
totally.
To the entire team.
It's the Private Pyle from
yes,
Full Metal Jacket.
Exactly. Yep.
I have tried to teach Private Pyle, but he has failed.
Mm-hmm.
Now all of you will suffer for his mistakes. Like
right.
One guy causes everybody. It's not, hey, today in practice, Hunter Norzad and Caliendo are going to run gassers until they puke. No, you're all running gassers until you puke, because
that's, right.
that's what St. Joe's about. That's what getting this team together is about, which is just one of those things that obviously I don't think we'll see a lot of. Now, again, we'll go back and we'll, you know, rehash this, and Bob's probably put in his notebook already. August, you know, 17th when the Chiefs play, or August 15th when the Chiefs play their first game, penalties were an issue. Just like when we talked to Vern last February, Carlos Estevez's, you know, velocity is an issue.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go back to the season, what's the number one problem with the Royals this year? Bullpen.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully the number one problem with the Kansas City Chiefs this year is not penalties.
And it better not be, because again, this is why you brought Eric Bieniemy back. This
correct.
Is his number one strength, is to hold dudes accountable. And it seemed like that's what they were missing last year. Even Clark at the beginning of the show, we played what he had to say about the mindset of this team. If you don't stress penalties and you don't stress that it's going to be a problem if you commit these penalties, then guys are just going to go out there and not really care and not think about it. And so they've got to be very cognizant of these penalties. And I expect Eric Bieniemy to be out there being the guy that he is, the guy that we brought into Kansas City. It's time to hold these dudes accountable. First game's under the belt. Wasn't great from a penalty standpoint. Let them know it, Eric.
Yeah, should be interesting though, because I mean that's what it's always been, man. Like it's always like first game. Hey, here's what we missed. I don't know. I didn't play a lot of football in my life. Maybe 2 years total. One in eighth grade, then never touched the field again because I wasn't built for it. I ain't gonna sit here and lie to you. And I remember after like one of the first games, we had all these like what first practice next week. Like I think we always played on Tuesdays. I can't remember, but I remember the next practice. It was always like, all right. 14 penalties. You guys owe me 14 mm-hmm. runs. We can either do all 14 now at the start. We can do 7 now and 7 at the end. And I can guarantee you to this day, I remember we always did them to start.
So what was your run back then? Because I remember what ours was, and I hated it because I was fat, slow, and terrible.
We had full gassers and half gassers. And a full gasser was end zone to end zone, and then half gasser was sideline to sideline.
Okay, so what we did was we ran quarters.
Shout out to Homer Carter
and
Coach
and
Johnson.
We had a start like around the football field, and it's called quarters because it was a quarter mile. Sprints. Mm-hmm. And you had like 90 seconds or something.
Oh yeah, you had time
to do it, and they timed you. And I just remember the veteran players just like pushing me because I was so slow as a freshman. I hated those things. Hated them.
We had an obese kid on the team. His name was Keith. He's not anymore. He grew up in life, but I remember he never made the finish line. And eventually, like we had to keep running. And for like the first two times, it was like, "Damn it, Keith, get your ass across the line."
But that's not what they want you to do.
And then finally, three of the bigger dudes on the team grabbed him by the shoulder pads and dragged his big ass across the line to a point where it was like, that's what we need. That's the team we have. Break it down. And then practice was over. And then,
and the kids finally got it. But that's what this is about. This is about going back to the high school days and making sure that these penalties don't become an issue. And if you emphasize it and make it a point to not become an issue, I don't think it will become an issue.
Mm. Somebody says we ran snakes. Snakes. Yep. Well, I don't know snakes.
What was
sideline to sideline every 5 yards down the field? It was insane.
Sideline to sideline every 5 yards.
Yeah.
The worst we ever did. Yeah, that's what we did in high school.
The worst thing we had in high school basketball. Again, I only played 2 years. Is we had to do the slide drill, and everybody started on the corner of the court, and you just slid. And then when we were really in trouble, we had to run backwards with our hands up until the banners on the wall started flying. Wow. I'll tell you what, wall sits were a cream puff when it came to running backwards with your hands up until the flags flew.
Running backwards with your hands? How many people fell? And I mean, like,
if you fell, you better get your ass back up.
Yeah. Damn.
Somebody says you should have played high school and football in high school. Kelly Dunn didn't believe in conditioning. Too many of us could get tired. That's fair. I mean, when you win state titles,
you can do whatever you want.
That's right. Shout out Blue Springs High School. All right. Coming up on the other side, we get into some futures. What are your futures? We'll talk about it next here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. It's Marcel Delane, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.